There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Chris McCarty joins us. Nice to see you, Christopher.
Very good afternoon, Tim.
How is everything with you?
Busy. It's the end of the week, and as usual, Robbie and I are panicking with the show.
I was going to say at loggerheads.
No, not today. It's been it's been pretty cordial up there in the office. That's not to say that that will be the case from 7 p.m.
Yeah. Oh, they say they panic. I don't know if you do. You always sound cool, calm and collected
to us.
Yeah,
it's the mad rush. Myself and Robbie, as I think Tim can attest to this, we're not the most organised, but it seems to all just come together at about 2 minutes to 7.
It all comes out in the wash.
I think every programme on this station does that, doesn't it, to be honest with you. It's one of those funny things, you know. It's the old thing of working to a deadline, journalists everywhere will get this. You always think, plenty of time for the deadline, and then you think, plenty of time, not quite as much. Oh, rush! And
no time!
It always gets done.
Yeah, I was exactly like that at university. Yeah. I hate to admit this, but I was one of those all-nighter kind of individuals where you get to midnight, I've got an essay due at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning, I better get on it.
Yeah.
And then at 8:59 a.m. you'd be running into your hall and dropping that essay in and praying and hoping that it would be a pass mark.
Having a memory like yours isn't
a hindrance,
is it? Do you realise he is photographic memories for stuff that he likes? For sport, I've never met anybody like you.
Yeah, it's pretty freaky, but it does get me out of tight jams.
Makes you a bit of money on the side as well, you know,
yes.
Career and all that stuff. I know where you're going. Anyway, let me ask you about the cricket, because I suppose we start here. UE Ireland
is ongoing.
Yes.
I'm not across it, I've got to be honest. We'll do from 7 p.m. But yes, UE and Ireland, Scotland are over here as well. Bit of a tri-nations, tri-series going on here. And the UE down there at Zayed Cricket Stadium up against an Irish team who now a test-playing nation. So this is a bit of an acid test for the UE. I'm looking forward to how they'll get on over the coming days as well. Scotland over here, I'll be definitely taking an interest in how Scotland get on as a proud Scotsman.
Of course you will. Hey, can we talk about Serena Williams, who's given an absolutely lovely interview to Vogue magazine. Talks about so many things in this, and some of the quotes, particularly about her sister, just fantastic.
Absolutely, and it's one of those interviews that makes you jealous as a journalist, because you almost wish, yeah, that's what we should be doing, getting out these lines that we've not heard from Serena Williams before. She talks at length about the birth of her baby daughter and how that's changed her outlook. She admits that if she doesn't win any more Grand Slams now, she'll be content with life. But it's, as you say, Claire, it's what she says about her rivalry with Venus that really lights up the page. You know, she talks about the fact that she can't look at Venus when she's playing her because she sees the anguish on Venus's face, and it takes a little bit of that competitiveness away from her. She always feels that if she has to look at Venus, then she's probably opening herself up to losing the match. I think she's beaten her, 17 times out of 28 meetings, and it's just a fascinating insight into what goes on in the mind of, yes, as an athlete like Serena, but an athlete that has to go head-to-head with her sister.
Because it's always something that's intrigued tennis fans, I think, that rivalry between them and when they play each other and how often they've played each other. And they don't, you know, they always say they enjoy the matches after. This is the first time I think one of them's been really this candid. And she says, I hate playing Venus because she gets this look on her face. Solemn. It breaks my heart, she says. And now she says, I can't look at her because then it'll make me lose, as Chris says. And it's just really candid
it
stuff.
It is candid. It's a phenomenal interview that she's done with Vogue. And I think one thing that I guess we have criticised Venus a little bit for, Serena undoubtedly, I hate to say it, given the fact that they're siblings, but Serena is the better of the two. But one of the accusations that I think have been levelled against Venus is she's become a little passive. It's almost like she's resigned to her fate when she steps on the court, and I think that's just the aura of Serena's got now. And the fact she can't look her sister in the eye during matchups just show that she wants to be ruthless. She wants to win. And you know, yes, okay, she's now a mother for the first time at the age of 36. But make no mistake about it, she will go on. She will win more Grand Slams. She wants to win.
When do you think we'll see her back, Chris?
I think we'll see her back before the French Open. She may take some time, and she may, you know, target Wimbledon as a time to come back. But we saw her down at Mubadala World Tennis Championship. She wasn't moving as well as she can. That's understandable. She was hitting the ball prodigiously, though. She's still got that huge power. She steps in and she's in her comfort zone. That forehand is a beautiful shot. So I think we will see her in the next couple of months, and I've got no doubt that Serena Williams will be winning more Grand Slams, and she'll be winning it as a mother, which is just, it's an incredible story. Her legend lives on. She wants to add to that legacy, and as she said in this candid interview, she wants to be a Grand Slam winner with her daughter, so when she looks back on it, she can say, listen, I did this with you in my life.
That's pretty cool, isn't it? Mm. It's got to be said that you got to feel for Venus a bit though, because it was Venus, and then all of a sudden Serena came in and steamrolled everybody. And
that's
as
it.
As an older sister, you got to think, hold. Oh, right then.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Venus was the one that we all thought, wow, what is this that's come along? And then Serena took time to mature, and then her game just rocketed. It was a meteoric rise, and yeah, she's of course she is undoubtedly the greatest female tennis player of all time, and you've got to say one of the greatest tennis players of all time. She's right up there with Roger Federer for what she's done.
Well said, that man. I wanted to ask you about football. We all know what happened last night, Chelsea-Arsenal. I think the story of last night, really, certainly in terms of that game, is VAR.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I know, certainly from our panel of guests that we've had on Monday Night Football, rather split about the use of VAR. I'm for it because I just think there's too much riding on the line these days. I think the game has become so fast and furious, frenetic for referees. They need a helping hand. But I think we saw last night, certainly with the second decision, the penalty decision, Danny Welbeck's tackle on Cesc Fabregas still taking a little too long for my liking. They've got to shorten that down. They've got to ensure that the game is still what we all fall in love with, and that is the fact that it is so fast and furious. And I think it will take time. It's a work in progress. I'm for it because there's simply too much on the line these days, and they will iron out the little creases, and I'm sure we will see VAR system in use at the FIFA World Cup finals, and I'm sure it is here to stay. And for those of you that perhaps are not for technology in football, unfortunately this is the present and this is very much the future.
So where it's going, isn't it? It's a commercial opportunity there though, because there is sort of 10-15 seconds, 20
seconds. Well, that's the other fear. I should have added that. I don't want to see football becoming NFL, where we're going to commercial breaks.
Bit while he looks at the replay, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, it took 1 minute 15 or something last night, one
too
of
long.
His reviews, and they said too long. And it should be, I think the guy that's running it, I can't remember his name, who runs the FA part of it, I can't remember his name, sorry.
Martin Glenn.
Maybe. He said it should take between 30 and 40 seconds.
And even that, I think
even that feels quite long.
Yeah, and I think the other thing, very quickly, I think rugby we're starting to see, we don't want the referee going to the VAR with every decision. You're nitpicking then. That's the referee doubting himself. We don't want that.
Now, I said this to Robbie the other night, and the thing is, let's be honest, footballers don't behave as well as rugby players. So if they're running round the ref every time, go check this ref, you know, in probably much more colourful language. That's going to become a problem, isn't it? Whereas in rugby, that doesn't really happen that much. Also, the crowd get to take part in rugby, and we see it, and same in cricket. And it kind of becomes part of the spectacle, doesn't it? But again, with football, you're looking in a small. He's looking at a small screen. The audience can't take
not
part.
Not got a clue. Not got a clue what's going on. And you're right. Same with Hawkeye. It's become a real feature now of tennis. It's the whoa, and it's in or out, as the case may be. But in football, they're still ironing these things out. They will work it out eventually. And as I say, I think the referees is the hardest job in football. Forget the coaches.
Yeah,
forget the
so
players. Being a referee is
thankless task.
Oh,
thank you.
Thankless doesn't even get close, does it? But I mean, if you could sell somebody a packet of biscuits, that's fine, isn't it? 30 seconds, I reckon I can sell you biscuits in 30 seconds. It's really all the time we've got. This has gone so quickly today. I did want to say, you've been talking to some footballers, haven't you?
Yes, I was yesterday. Very
some
fortunate.
Some footballers, don't know who they are.
Manchester United in town. I think the maxim here is that first, if you fail, you try and try and try again. I pestered them. They eventually let me in. I spoke to one or two individuals from Manchester United, including Paul Pogba. All of those interviews on Monday Night Football next Monday, and we will be giving away a signed Manchester United strip as well. So you've got to be in it to win it. You've got to be down at the Down Anchor at 7 p.m. next Monday evening, because you've got to be there if you want to win that signed strip. Paul Pogba signed it, Lukaku, Herrera, Mata, all the first team players.
When he says you've got to have the tenacity and pester, maybe you should have a word with Robbie about Rory.
Yeah,
bless him.
You know.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah,
he needs to learn the fine art of the pester.
Oh, bless him. You'll get there, I'm sure. Rory was not in as finer spirits as the Manchester United boys were yesterday.
Yeah. Robbie doorstepping would actually be quite a pleasant experience, though, wouldn't it?
Bless him. What was it? Are you sure, Rory? And Rory just replied, yes, I'm sure.
Okay, then.
All right, then. We'll get Robbie down for some predictions later on. That'll just fill our boots.
Yeah.
Chris, last word today. Here you go.
The last word.
Encouraged to go to the gym in New Zealand.
So, what would be encouraged to go to the gym in New Zealand, do you think?
Peter Jackson.
Good answer. Good answer, Chris.
Mark Archer as well, perhaps.
When's Arch back in, by the way?
I'm not sure. I've not done the
Never
rota.
Again after listening to that bit.
Not recently. All right, then. So, one more time. Text us on 4001 via the free app.
The Lost Word.
Encouraged to go to the gym in New Zealand.
Oh, dear, that's just brilliant. To go to the gym in New Zealand. If you have a fine, amusing, or even a correct answer for that, it'd be good to hear from you.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.